Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. We are recording our Friday show. I'm going to do it solo today, and I'm going to go over the LSU early signing recruiting class. I'm not going to be like these national guys that just act like it's the final, you know, signing day of all days. It's one of two, and then you have the portal. And we'll talk about that later in the show, too, about how you have to win two recruiting classes and a portal to shape your roster. It is weird times. But yes, that's the reality we are in college football. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how the rich are getting richer and recruiting and how this crazy free agency is just really dampered our fan bases all over the country. It's really disappointing a lot of people. And college football is going to have to reshape some rules or tweak it. Like I said, I was mentioning on this show 2 years ago, it's okay to pay players, but you've got to have some rules along the way. You've got to have a system that works, and it doesn't work right now. It's just wide open. I'm going to go ahead and go into our first segment, which is today is going to be the LSU recruiting class. I'm also going to talk about Tulane and ULM of Monroe. And let me tell you this, we're not going to go through all the colleges today because most of the colleges in Louisiana outside of LSU and Tulane did not sign many players at all. And the reason is, again, there's another signing class. And that's the one that means even more to these schools than the early one. It's too early to sign a class, in my opinion. And so, if you don't follow recruiting, you know, like some people do, some people follow it every day, 12 months a year. There's two signing classes, and like I said, it really doesn't matter. And I'll talk about that later in the show, how I don't agree with these recruiting sites nationally ranking classes on a half a class. It's just messed up. We'll talk about that. But let's go ahead and go into the LSU recruiting class. LSU signed 14 players in the first signing class, the first early signing class. There's another one to go, and there's a transfer portal to go with players being signed. They added their 14th player the other day in Miles Frazier, who's a big offensive lineman from Florida International. A little bit about Miles Frazier. He's from Camden, New Jersey, 6'6", 315 pounds, runs a 5-flat in the 40, was one of the top offensive tackles in the country. In the country in 2021. He only played 1 year. And because of the transfer rules, he's coming to LSU and he still has 3 years to play. That is a great pickup. Not only that, he's a great player, but you get a guy for 3 years, not just one. That's the kind of pickup you want to get in the portal if you need immediate needs met. And he can come in and play tackle and take over for Austin Dakolas right away. I believe this kid's proven it. And he's you know, LSU beat out Ohio State and many big-time programs, Auburn and Florida. There were a lot of big-time teams that went after this kid. He visited these schools, and they came to his house trying to get a signature. So that's a great win for Coach Kelly and LSU. And people said, oh, Coach Kelly can't recruit. Well, come on now. He's showing it. He's showing he can recruit. And I like the job, by the way, that this class, the quality of kids, and I know a lot of these kids that signed are dialed in to football and college. And that's what Coach Kelly wants from here on out. He wants kids that want to go to college and play football and be a part of a team. That's the culture you have at Alabama. That's the culture you have mostly at Ohio State. And that's the culture you have mostly at Clemson. And if you don't dial in and be a part of a team and go to school and then you get to play football, you're not going to be there very long. And so it helps on the front end to sign kids that want to do that. And that's what you have in this 14-man class is you've got guys dialed in that want to play for LSU. And these highly recruited classes that Ed Orgeron signed, a lot of these guys were just coming because they were sold on national championships in the NFL mostly. And when you don't win, they all leave. And that's what's probably going to take place at Texas A&M. They finished really good in recruiting. Again, the classes aren't over. We'll go over that again later in the show. But, you know, if Jimbo Fisher does not win next year, the reality that we're in right now in college football, if he doesn't win, you know, 10 games or 11 games or go to the playoffs next year, then all these guys are going to leave. Because most of the players signing with A&M this year are from out of state. Same kind of angle that Orgeron took at LSU. Signing guys from New York and, you know, Georgia, Florida, and that's okay. But A&M, you really don't have to leave the state of Texas, in my opinion, maybe outside of two or three players, maybe a quarterback, a franchise tackle, OD line, and maybe a linebacker. But you can get everything in Texas, kind of like Louisiana. But going back to the LSU class, we're going to go in-depth with LSU's recruiting class when we come back. I'm going to go over all 14 players. I did talk about Miles Frazier. I'm going to talk about the other 13 kids. Most of these guys I saw play in high school over 3-4 years. Going back to 2017. I've seen these guys play. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. And this segment, we're going to go through the LSU recruiting. It's not a finished class. And later in the show, we'll talk about how that just irks me, how we've got two classes and everybody wants to rank this class. And you can't rank anything because you got another signing class in February. Anyway, so Walker Howard is the quarterback signee for LSU. He's thought of as one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the country. Some people say the best quarterback in the United States for this class. He did sign. I did expect him to sign. He's a lifelong LSU kid. His dad, Jamie, played at LSU. His dad, Jamie, was on the cover of my first magazine in 1992. Just for a tidbit, he was on the cover of the first magazine ever put out in 1992. Him and David LaFleur, Eddie Kennison, were those guys on my cover of the first magazine that we did for Louisiana Football Magazine. Walker's going to be a guy that I predict we'll go in early enrollment, compete in spring, but I don't think he'll start. I think he needs a year. Let's get through all the hype and all the, you know, recognitions and all how great everybody is. But he will be a great quarterback, but I don't expect him to start as a true freshman. I think he'll be more ready year two, definitely year three. Nussmeier will be better year two. Nussmeier and Miles will be your quarterbacks going into next season. And I think that's what they need. Brennan coming back is a big-time get for them. I like that he came back. I really do. A guy that's been around, you know, now 6 years. He's got a chance to leave on a good note. He's had those injuries for 2 years. So quarterback's in a strong spot right now with Brennan, Nussmeier, who I think is going to be great, and Walker Howard. Bo Bordelon is a big-time player from Newman High School, but he started at E.D. White High School, just so people know that. He went to E.D. White in Thibodaux. His dad went to Central Lafourche High School, Ben Bordelon. And if you don't know this, Ben Bordelon played for LSU and was all-conference offensive lineman and played for the San Diego Chargers, where he was a high draft pick in the NFL. A lot of people don't know that. But I think Bo has got his best days ahead of him. I've watched him play for 3 years. I watched him play as a freshman at E.D. White. He's always been around 6'4", 6'5". His dad's about that. And he's now finally in that 280, 285 range where he was really mostly 250, 260 up until this past year at Newman where he blocked for Arch Manning. Bo is going to be 300 pounds of muscle and leanness when you see him. You know what I mean by lean? When you're 300 and you look lean, you're athletic. You've got that build. He's 6'5". I think once he's in college for 1 year, I think if he redshirts, it would do him good, and I think he's the kind of guy that when he comes off a redshirt, Bo Bartolov is going to be about 6'5", 6'6", about 310, 315, running about a 5 flat, and competing for all SEC offers. That's what you have in Bo Bartolov, and he loves LSU. He loves LSU. And I'm going to keep mentioning that. These are some guys that are going to be at LSU, regardless if they win 7 games or 12 games. They're going to go to school and not leave. And also, just continuing on in the LSU class, I mean, it was a good quality group of kids. They got a kicker, Nathan Diebert out of Michigan, who has hit over 9 field goals over 42 yards. It's pretty impressive. And he had 4 over 46. He had 3 over 50 just in his senior season. He was one of the top 5 kickers in the country. And I think if York leaves early, he can come in and start right away at kicker and be one of the top 10 kickers in the country, which is a big pickup. I mean, all the way to go to Michigan to get him. And he also can kick off where he kicks off in the end zone. So if he needs to be a dual kicker, he can do that immediately. And he's also punted for his team. But LSU's got some punters coming up that are going to take care of that spot. Also, Fitzgerald West was a signee out of Lafayette Christian. Here's a great story about Fitzgerald West. Fitzgerald, when he was a freshman at Lafayette Christian, played D-line, and he made All-State, and he had a phenomenal year. Then his sophomore year, he played D-line. His junior year, he played D-line. His senior year, they moved him to offensive line because that's his future at center. And so he's going to come in as a center for LSU at 6'1", about 300 pounds with good feet. And we'll see what happens there at center. But I think he's a really great center prospect. He's not going to be a guard or tackle. Quincy Wiggins is a signee that is out of Madison Prep here in Baton Rouge. He's from Assumption High School. He came from Assumption High School where he's playing basketball, another neat story, and finished his last 3 years at Madison Prep in Baton Rouge where he played basketball. He grew into a football player. He went from being 6'6", 230 to 260, and it was like, whoa. I saw him play as a sophomore, and he had some freak skills then. His junior year, he really lit it up in the playoffs. He's about 6'10" in length. He's long, he's lean, he's 270 now, about 6'6". And he looks like an NFL first-round pick. I mean, he really does. The kid has a chance to be special as a DN. And he hasn't really shown his full upside yet. He hasn't really hit it yet. He's only been playing football for 3 years. And think about it. He didn't play in junior high and all that. He was mostly a basketball guy. And he's got a chance to be a great player. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with the LSU football early signing group. I'm not going to say class, the early signing group of 14 players. We'll continue on talking about LSU. And we'll also talk about Tulane and ULM of Monroe before we're done, and my opinion of how we need to get rid of the early signing day. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medine's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. We're going to continue talking about the LSU football early signing class. I'm not going to say class because we got another one. Sorry if I sound redundant continuing to say that, but I just want people to know it's not the only time they're going to sign players. They added a linebacker from Orlando, Florida, by the name of Demario Tolan, who I thought they would probably lose him because he was a national recruit, top 100 player. And when you go into Orlando and you steal a linebacker from Florida and Florida State and Miami, it's impressive, especially when you have a coaching change and you can hang on to this kid. He's 6 foot two, 225 pounds, runs a 4.55 40, and he was one of the top two linebackers in the state of Florida, which is impressive. And LSU needs that. They needed that big name linebacker. This past year, they signed a kid by the name of Greg Penn out of DeMatha, Maryland, who's going to be a good player, and now they got another one. So this is really going to help the linebacking group at LSU moving forward. Demario Tolan, you got to give a shout out to LSU's linebackers coach Blake Baker. Blake recruited this kid from start to finish. He was recruiting him when he was at Miami. A little tidbit, when Coach Baker was coaching at Miami, he was recruiting this kid. And so they bonded and had a strong relationship, and I think when LSU basically said he's going to stay on the staff, kid said, I'm going to come. I'm going to go ahead and go to LSU. I want to play for Blake Baker. And that says that speaks volumes of Coach Baker and his ability to recruit. Recruited this kid for 2, maybe 3 years total. I think he's going to play right away. I don't know if he'll start at LSU, but he's got a chance to be in the two deep and help the linebacker spot for depth and will be a great player one day. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to continue on with LSU's recruiting class. Later in the show, we'll talk about Tulane and ULM of Monroe. And when I come back, we're going to talk about Taji Hill, another D-tackle LSU was able to hang on to from Edna Carr High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen. We're going to continue talking about the LSU recruiting early signing class of 14 players. We're going to continue on with Taji Hill. Taji's 6 foot two, about 310 pounds, depending on where they want him come fall. He's an immediate player that's going to play because he's got great feet, mature, strong. He's just a guy that's going to be able to come in and play right away. Whether he starts or not remains to be seen, but he's definitely a plug-in guy as a true freshman. He's a top 200 player in the country. I think he's a top – I think he's a great one. Taji's been starting at Edna Carr for 4 years in Algiers, Louisiana. I said New Orleans, but Algiers, Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans. He is going to be somebody that LSU needs on the D-line immediately because they lose a lot of players. He brings size, speed, and quickness. And what is unique about Taji can play D-end or D-tackle in the 3-4 or 4-3. He can be either or. He could also be a nose guard. So he can play all the spots, all the techniques on D-line for LSU. And that's why he's so important to sign. You can't just go back and get another high school kid like this because he can play every spot on the D-line. He's so quick for a guy 300 pounds. And like I said, if they want to bulk him up to 310, they can move him to nose guard. He'll be a great player, quick there. He could rotate with Jacoby and Guillory, or he could go DN at 290, 285, and be a guy that can rush the passer. He can play the run very well. He does it all. I mean, he's got a lot in his toolbox, and I really like Taji a lot. I think he gives high effort for a big guy. He's really played hard his whole career. He never really takes a lot of plays off, and that's what impressed me in high school for a guy his size, to bring it every play. Emory Jones. Signed with LSU on the offensive line out of Catholic High. Been committed to LSU for over a year. Emory is a rare, rare immediate impact O-lineman from Baton Rouge. If you look at the last offensive lineman that came out of Baton Rouge, it was a pro player, Lloyd Cushenberry from Dutchtown. He wasn't highly recruited, and Lloyd ended up being a great player. You know, he starts for the Denver Broncos now as a center. We all know that. But Emory Jones, to me, is one of the best offensive linemen to ever come out of Baton Rouge. I put him up there with Lyle Collins from Redemptorist, I thought was one of the last big-time O-linemen to come out of Baton Rouge. He's playing for the Dallas Cowboys. And I put Emory Jones on Lyle Collins' level. I really do. He's 6'3", 4". You know, he looks about 6'5", because he's got long arms. He's about 320, and he can move. And he's a very tough blocker. He can maul you straight ahead. He can pull on run plays. He's versatile. He's got great feet. He's dedicated, got great hands to block. He doesn't need to really learn a lot. He just needs to just be plugged in and play. And I really believe that him and Will Campbell and Miles Frazier highlight this class for one position, that's O-line. LSU had got three offensive linemen that are ready to be all SEC players. Will Campbell from Neville, we'll talk about in a minute. Emory Jones and Miles Frazier. So Miles Frazier will come in as a tackle. Emory Jones can play tackle or guard. And Will Campbell can play tackle or guard. I mean, I'll tell you what. You know, I've seen 10 recruiting classes for the last 10 years for LSU, and I haven't seen them sign three O-linemen like this in one class. This is a special group of O-linemen. I mean, these three guys, getting Miles Frazier, Emory Jones, and Will Campbell was a coup. I mean, it was incredible to land these three. And then you got Bo Bortolal that's going to be a great O-lineman in about a year. It'll go down as one of the greatest offensive line classes in the history of LSU football. Not bad for a new coach, right? I'm pointing that out today. I remember when LSU signed a guy by the name of Alan Faneca, an unknown from Houston, along with a guy by the name of Kevin Mawa. Remember that? In the same class. Two Hall of Famers. That was back when you had Curley Holman. And things weren't, LSU weren't even, they weren't even winning. Remember, everybody was negative. Oh, they were not getting any good players. And they signed Alan Faneca. And they signed Kevin Mawa. Those guys started on the same O-line at LSU, both Hall of Famers. Unbelievable. So this class is not a bad, I mean, it's not, let's quit saying class. The early signing group was strong. We're going to take a break, and we're going to finish talking about the 14 signees, the early signees for LSU. We'll come back talking about Jordan Allen and the DBs at LSU signed, LaTerrence Welch from Acadiana, Jordan Allen from Lafayette Christian. We'll talk about all the players, and then Mason Taylor, the tight end from St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Jason Taylor, former Miami Dolphins star, his son. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Scouter Report with Lee Burkeen. We'll be back in a moment.
Come and visit the majestic mansion in the marsh, Grove Savan Waterfowl and Wildlife Lodge. Grove Savan is the true sportsman's paradise. Grove Savan Lodge has everything for you, from fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and eco tours. Located south of Lake Charles, call 337-598-2357 or visit www.grovesavant.com for more information and schedule your trip to the majestic mansion in the marsh, Grove Savant Waterfowl and Wildlife Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise today.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report with Lee Burkeen. We're almost finished talking about the LSU recruiting class. And we're going to go to Tulane after that, and also ULM of Monroe. And I'll give you my two cents about how crazy and how I don't like how these national media guys are promoting recruiting and ranking teams after the first signing day. I think we got to stop it. We need to rank these classes after the transfer portal's done and the second signing class. We'll talk about that later in the show today real quickly. Let's continue with the LSU recruiting class. Jordan Allen. Was a cornerback, or I call a nickel safety, strong safety, can play nickel corner. Watched Jordan Allen play the last 3 years for Lafayette Christian and Trev Falk, former LSU linebacker. And what impressed me about Jordan Allen was his toughness. You know, Sage Ryan and him were on the same team, who's going to be a good DB at LSU, just had a lot of injuries this past year. But Jordan Allen was offered by a lot of big-time programs. And he's, you know, a legit 5'11", pushing 6 feet, about 190. So he's got a little size to him. And that's why I think in the end, he's either going to lean down to about 185 and be a corner. He's going to get a little bit bigger and be a safety. He's a guy you could move to free safety if you need to, or just make him a full-time strong safety. And I think his future, I truly think his future is strong safety because of his body and the way he plays the game. He's more of a 4-5 guy, not a 4-4 guy, but he can cover. He can cover in space, and he's very physical, so that's the key. He's a very tough kid. Another DB LSU signed. He's one of the top defensive backs in the country. They were able to hold on to him, even though Corey Raymond wasn't coming back and went to Florida. I know Coach Raymond was trying to get him to sign with Florida, but LaTerrence Welch is a long DB. And when I mean long, he's about 6'1", but he looks about 6'3". He's about 190, 185, but, he can cover some ground. And he's another kid who could grow into the safety spot. He could be a free safety. He's only about 5 pounds away from being a free safety because, you know, he's either going to get up to 200 pounds, 210, or stay around 190 and play corner. He missed the last 4 or 5 games of his senior year this year with an injury, but he's another physical DB from Louisiana who will cover the pass. He can cover any of the fast guys that you want to put him against, tall, short, whatever. And he's good against the run. And that's what I like about Jordan Allen and LaTerrence Welch. They play the run very well, both of these guys. A lot of DBs you sign, they don't like to play the run. They don't like to tackle. But these two guys do. And I think Welch will come in, LT will come in and play immediately. Him and Jordan Allen will play immediately because they're aggressive and physical. And that's what you need in SEC. If you're physical, like the Alabama DBs, like some of the Alabama DBs are, you'll get on the field and play a lot. And finally in this class, finally in the early signing class, LSU was able to hang on to tight end Mason Taylor, who's a late bloomer out of St. Thomas Aquinas. That's where Martinez played and Dumervil played, who's on the LSU team right now. They're all from St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale. That's where Michael Irvin went and several other former greats. But Mason Taylor's the son of Jason Taylor, you know, the big-time DN for the Miami Dolphins, Hall of Famer. You know, his dad was 6'6", 240, and had like 100 sacks in the NFL. I enjoyed watching his dad. Man, he was good. Now, Mason Taylor is 6'4", not as tall as his dad, almost 6'5", about 240, 235. He's got great hands, great athlete, duh, like his dad. You can tell he inherited the feet from his dad. Jason had phenomenal feet. And so you got a guy that's really only played 1 year of football as a starter because he's at a school that's always got All-Americans every year. I think LSU signed a diamond in the rough tight end. He's the kind of tight end that Kelly would take to Notre Dame anyway. He can block. He can run. He's about a 4'6", 40, like his dad. His dad might have been a 4'5". But a big guy his size, you know, I mean, this helps take the sting off of losing Johnson out of Georgia, the tight end, Max Johnson's brother who signed with A&M. And look for Coach Kelly to add a couple of tight ends, one in the portal as a grad transfer. Don't be shocked if he doesn't grab one from Notre Dame. And also another tight end maybe in the signing class, the late signing class. So I think LSU will end up with 3 tight ends in this class. That's my opinion because Kelly loves his tight ends. They're an extension of the O-line. They help block. They're just like what Alabama does and Ohio State. You got to have the big guys. And LSU needs some big tight ends. So this is at least one tight end to come back with basically your smaller tight end in Jack Besh. And also Jack Mashburn, who are small on the smaller H-back end. So they need the big tight ends. And look for them, again, add 2 tight ends. I hope you enjoyed the preview of the early signing group for LSU. There is another signing class February 3rd, and there's the portal that'll go on through February. And I think with Coach Kelly, I think you'll see most of the guys will sign. Because if you have the 7 added one-time NCAA waiver where you can sign 7 graduate transfers over your 25 signing class, so you can bring in 31 players total. And this comes at a perfect time for Coach Kelly. I mean, you've got seven added scholarships that's never been there from the NCAA. And he's going to sign some phenomenal players. He's already picked up Miles Frazier, who's an All-American offensive lineman from Florida International in Florida, who's going to come in and be a pro prospect right away playing O-line. We're going to take a break when we come back. I'm going to talk about Tulane and ULM of Monroe's classes. They're not big classes because they're going to sign most of their guys in the second signing period in the portal. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Hope you enjoyed the LSU review of the 14 signees early, and there's still another signing date. I'll talk about that at the end of the show, how I'm just so upset how these guys are ranking like a final number one team, and we've got another recruit class, and we've got the portal still. Let's talk about ULM of Monroe. They signed five junior college players early, and that's it, because they needed some immediate guys. They, you know, when Coach Terry Bowden took over the ULM program, he didn't take over a lot of talent. If I'll tell you what they did at Tiger Stadium, the way they played against LSU was incredible, with Harley walk-ons and just guys, just, you know, guys that probably be third team at LSU. And they beat Troy. They beat a lot of big programs. I mean, they beat a ton of big-time programs this past year and had a great year, I think. And he signed five junior college players. Look for them to go portal heavy. Maybe try to get some Louisiana natives in that, and then get some high school kids in the second signing class in February. And I think Terry's on in the right direction to get a seven-win season soon, because he almost got seven this past year with a half a team like LSU. Turning to Tulane. Tulane only signed two Louisiana high school players early, which is kind of the trend because of the portal. I know, all the people are listening. It's just, but two high school Louisiana players were signed early by Tulane. The rest were transfers. But the good thing is, three of those transfers are from Louisiana. So they got Patrick Jenkins from John Aird High School, who's a D tackle from TCU, who I loved at John Aird. I thought LSU should offer him. Patrick, 6'2", 290, has a great feet. He's a pro prospect, actually. And I guess when the TCU coach was fired, he decided to put his name in the market, come back home. He's going. That's a big pickup for Tulane. They also got Lawrence Keys from Notre Dame. Yeah, Coach Kelly signed Lawrence Keys out of McDonough 35 High School in New Orleans. Lawrence Keys can play receiver, slot, and be an automatic starter very soon for Tulane in the slot. 5'11", about 185, with 4.4 speed. And they also picked up, remember this kid from Warren Easton, All-State running back, Ashad Clayton, 6 foot tall, 220 pounds, can run a 4.5. And Tulane wasn't even in on it back in the day. He signed with Colorado, if you remember, played a little bit as a freshman, didn't play much this year. So Ashad Clayton's coming back home to New Orleans for Tulane, and so is Patrick Jenkins, and so is Lawrence Keys. So technically, Tulane signed five Louisiana natives in the early signing period. They also added Rashawn Pleasant, a high school signee from West Monroe, a running back who's big time, I believe. 5'11", 205 pounds, 4'5", guy with speed, vision, and very powerful. I think he's an NFL prospect, Rashawn Pleasant. They also picked up Cameron Hamilton, a sleeper D tackle from Zachary. Excuse me, from Zachary High School. Cameron goes 6'5", 280, and a great player. Man, you talk about a great kid. A great kid. Cameron Hamilton's had to overcome a lot to be great. He's actually deaf in one ear. and has overcome that. And he's looked at as the leader of the team outside of Holstein at Zachary. And I've talked to a lot of their coaches, and it's incredible how smart this kid is and how much he's been through. And he's phenomenal as a player. He runs about a 4.9 in the 40 at 280, 6.5. He looks like an LSU defensive end that you would see for the NFL. But Cameron Hamilton has a chance to be a great player at LSU. I mean, excuse me, at Tulane. I say LSU because I thought he's that good. So Cameron Hamilton and Rashawn Pleasant were the only two Louisiana natives. The rest of their signees were out of state. And they signed 16 players total with the portal. So they still have a lot of players to add. And then they get 7 graduate transfers, too, on top of this. So they'll have a chance to sign 31 total, just like LSU, when it's all said and done. We'll go over the other colleges starting Monday. And because we'll take 2 or 3 hours to do, we'll go over the final high school championships on Monday and how that turned out. Jace Lejeune was there. We'll talk about that. And my final comments today before we go is get rid of the early signing day. And let's have a portal date for these guys in the portal. Let's have a date that you can get in the portal, and let's have a date that you can not get in the portal. Let's set up some rules. We need it done soon because people are poaching other people's rosters. And everybody listening to this show understands what I'm talking about. They're poaching other people's rosters, especially teams in the playoffs. I don't want to mention any names. Or poaching other teams' top players because it's all about winning. So there needs to be some rules to cut down on that, to eliminate that, because I think it's getting out of hand. And I think I speak for thousands of people that follow recruiting, thousands of LSU, ULL, you know, Tulane, all of them. I mean, you know, we need to get back to where things are normal in recruiting with college football teams. And we need to get rid of that early signing day. That would solve it because you got too many coaching changes during, you know, November, December. And it doesn't make sense to have an early signing day in December when all these coaches are getting fired or leaving for more money, and that's fine. But kids are decommitting, and then they're signing with schools that are winning because they're doing it on emotion, and they just feel like they have to sign early, and coaches are just getting the top guys, the same schools. And we gotta stop that from happening. We've got to have a one signing day. Maybe move that signing day back in February. Maybe move it to maybe move it to March. Why can't we have them sign in March? Why not? Why rush this thing? Because everything's changed with the college coaches getting fired and hired, and that's what's changed everything where these kids want to go. And so you got to hire staffs. And usually the whole staff is not hired until the end of February. You're not going to get your coordinators. Like Coach Kelly, hopefully he'll have his whole staff by the end of February. He might not have his whole staff by the second signing period, February 3rd, which is normal. That if you look at history, any coach that gets hired, it takes 2 months to hire a staff if you want the right staff. You just don't want to go hire anybody, and then you have to get rid of these guys. So Kelly's doing it slowly and making sure he hires the right guys. So I would move the second signing period to early March and get rid of the early signing day. It's just causing problems, even with kids. It's causing problems with kids that feel like they're not good enough to play anymore. I mean, there needs to be one day for all. There really needs to be one day for all these kids because you're splitting it up for these kids, and it's not good. It's not good all the way around. And college coaches would agree with me. They just don't. I mean, they're rushed to recruit. They're pressured to bring in a signing class early. And let's get rid of the rankings in the early signing class, please. Let's quit saying this team finished 1 and this team finished 2. Here's my point. if you have your top 30 colleges in the country, okay, LSU being one of the top 20, and three schools have filled up on all their players in the early signing period, well, yeah, those three schools are going to be 1, 2, 3 in recruiting. And the other 27 have only, you know, they only taken 12, 13 kids. Well, you know what? If you have 27 signees with the system they have, and the other 27 teams only have 12, 13 signees, well, yeah, you're going to rank these guys above the colleges without hardly any signees. Let's get rid of the early signees rankings. Let's just do a final ranking February 3rd, and hopefully they'll move that thing to March one day, and then you can rank everybody. But I think it's premature to rank. And I'm sure Alabama signed everybody they wanted, and so did A&M this one time around. But when everybody gets their 27 players, 31 players with the portal come March, let's re-rank everybody. Let's see what it looks like with LSU come March when they can sign, by the time they're done with all their graduate players. Let's see what it looks like in March. That's what matters. Doesn't matter what happens in December because you're signing a third of your class. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people would agree, and I think they're just tired of all the that. You know, when we had one signing day in February 3rd, it was just celebrated one time, and that was it. And it was the right time to do it. But again, it's no longer the right time, I think, for the late signing day. Again, it needs to be moved. Let's get rid of early signing day. Please, let's get rid of early signing day. I hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll see you next week. We will not have a Friday show next week. We'll have a replay because of Christmas. But I hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.